Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Hold your finger there and then turn over or put your bookmarker and then turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Revelation 1 and then over to Matthew 24. And while you're doing that, we have an earring. Has anyone lost an earring?
It's a ring for your finger.
No, this is an earring. I've got two things here. You okay, all right. You want it now or you want to come? Okay. And also, we have a ring. This was found at the auction, I think. A ring. Anybody lost? That's yours? Okay. All right. I got a couple pair of glasses up here. I don't know whose they are. All right. Okay. I want to begin reading. I'm going to read to you. Now, you don't have to turn there unless you want to. But I'm going to read one verse from Titus. This is Titus chapter 2, and we're reading verse 13. And the Bible says, listen very carefully, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for the blessed hope and for the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that said, I want to ask you this. What is the glorious appearing? We're going to read about it right now. Look in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, I'm going to read verse 30. And the Bible says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And I'm going to read verse 31 too. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then look with me in the book of Revelation. Looking at the glorious, the glorious appearing. Reading Revelation 1, verses 7 and 8. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which have pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for thy goodness. We thank you, Lord, for thy amazing grace that we just sang about a moment ago. Thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. Because, Lord, everyone is precious to you. God, you know my heart. You know, Father, Lord, I love each one. And God, Lord, I pray, Lord, even now, that God, that need in every heart here today might be met. God, speak to hearts. God, we who are Christian, God, draw us closer to Thee. And God, help us to yearn for and long for that glorious appearing. And Father, I pray, Father, if there be one in this house that's lost, one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. Oh, my God, speak to that heart today. Save that soul. God, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for everything you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the glorious appearing. Beloved, the thing that sets Christianity apart from everything else in the world is Christ's second coming. You know, historians tell us to look back. And the scientists tell us to look around. And the philosophers tell us to look within. But the Bible tells us to look up. To look up. Because Jesus is coming again. Amen? Y'all help me out this morning, okay? Because I'm fighting these teeth. Y'all help me out. Jesus is coming again. Now, before I begin, there are two things I want us to understand about the second coming of Christ. First, beloved, the second coming of Christ is in two parts, or two phases. The first is the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Where the Bible tells us, beloved, that the next thing to happen on God's prophetic timetable is that the Lord is going to appear in the air. The trumpet of God's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise. And we that are alive and remain, who are born again, are going to be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
That, beloved, is the rapture of the church. Now, beloved, this scripture that we just looked at isn't dealing with the rapture. Beloved, it is dealing with the glorious appearing. You see, after the rapture, after the church is gone, after the Lord collects His bride, God's wrath is going to fall upon this earth in what's called the tribulation, or the great tribulation. And for 7 years, the book of Revelation tells us, beloved, that judgment after judgment after judgment is going to fall on this earth. At the end of the tribulation, then we have the glorious appearing. When the Lord comes back to the earth, all the way to the earth, beloved, and He sets up His kingdom on this earth, that is the glorious appearing. Now, second, I want you to understand that we are not to speculate on the time. We don't know, beloved, the date that Jesus is coming. God makes that plain, amen? I mean, Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, not the angels in heaven, but the Father only. Beloved, if an angel would walk through that door, I mean with the wings and everything, and come in and tell us, hey, Jesus is coming on such and such a date, you're looking at a fallen angel. Because, beloved, He's lying. You see, nobody knows the day or the hour. Not even the angels. I think it was last month, if I'm right, October the 23rd. Y'all, any of y'all see that? Oh, man. It's going to happen on October the 23rd. Beloved, when you hear somebody name a date, you are looking at a false prophet. I'm telling you. It is stupid, beloved, for folks to say they know a date. It is futile to set dates. Now, we're not in the program committee, so we don't know the date. We're on the welcoming committee, amen? We're going to welcome Him back, praise God. Come on, help me out now. Now, with that said, there are several things I want you to notice about these two verses in Revelation chapter 1. First of all, notice the fact of the second coming. John says, behold. Behold. Now, what in the world does behold mean? It means, beloved, stop. It means look. It means listen. Now, stop for what? Look for what? Listen for what? He comes. He comes. Amen? He comes. John is telling us, beloved, emphatically, Jesus is coming. Now, he may come. He comes. He is coming. John says, He's coming. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care, beloved, who you may have heard. I don't care how many degrees he's got. I don't care if they've got a big TV program. Listen to me. There is nothing in the Bible more sure, nothing, beloved, more positive than the second coming of Jesus. Than the second coming. If you, listen, you know this is God's love letter to us. Beloved, if you were writing a letter to somebody you loved, What would you put in it? What would you write? You would write about the important things, wouldn't you? I mean, the things that your loved one needed to know. I mean, really needed to know. Let me ask you, how important do you believe the new birth is? Think that's important? Beloved, the new birth is mentioned 9 times in the Bible. Thank God wants us to understand that. Amen? How important do you believe baptism is? Baptism is mentioned 20 times in God's love letter to us. 20 times. How important do you believe repentance is? Repentance, beloved, is mentioned 70 times in the Word of God. I think God wants us to repent. Amen? All right. Beloved, listen. The second coming, not the first coming, the second coming is mentioned 380 times in the New Testament. 380 times. Listen, 1,845 times in the whole Bible, beloved, one out of every 25 verses talks about the second coming of Jesus. I think God wants us to know He's coming again. Amen? I believe He does. God's trying to tell us something important. So one, listen to this. One out of every 25 verses says Jesus is coming again. Out of every 25. Let me ask you. How many of you believe in Christmas? What do I mean when I say that? That Jesus came the first time, born of a virgin, laid in a manger, grew up, and ministered, beloved, for about 3 years, a little over 3 years, and then went to the cross and died for our sins and rose again. Beloved, we all believe that. And it was all prophesied. We read about Jesus' coming and we see, beloved, all these Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. I mean, to the letter, literally. For example, well, that's a hard one to say with these teeth. Let me try it again. Literally. Ooh, can't say it. Help me, Miss Jean. Literally. Ooh, I ain't going to try it no more. Okay. All right. We see, beloved, prophecy. The Bible in the Old Testament said He's coming and He's going to be born of a virgin. Guess what? He was born of a virgin. Bible said, beloved, in the Old Testament, He would be born in the city of Bethlehem. Guess what? He was born in the city of Bethlehem. Said He would be born of the lineage of David. Said He would be born, beloved, to die on a cross, to seek and save that which was lost. The Old Testament said He would be raised the third day. And beloved, we know these things were prophesied and they all came to pass. Literally in the New Testament. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now get this. For every one verse about the first coming of Christ, there are eight about His second coming. If He came that first time, brethren, believe me, He is coming again. Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, folks, He's coming. We don't know when, but He's coming. Now, you want my opinion? My opinion is it's going to be soon. Soon, the rapture is going to happen. And at least 7 years later, that glorious appearing is going to take place. But there is no doubt Jesus is coming. Fact is, beloved, He's coming back. Here's the question. Are you ready? Are you ready? If He were to come today, would you be ready? And I'm talking the lost and saved alike. If that trumpet would sound and we'd be caught up, Christian, would you be ready to stand before God? Would you be ready? I want you to notice the form of His coming again. Look at verse 7 here in Revelation. The form of His coming. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Now, what is all that? What's this thing about clouds? Matthew said the same thing in Matthew 24, if y'all noticed. that is coming in the clouds or on the clouds. Beloved, in the Bible, clouds, beloved, are a type. And they speak, beloved, of God's presence. You remember when the children of Israel were crossing the wilderness and they were led by a cloud. That cloud, beloved, symbolized the presence of God was with them, leading them. When they dedicated, beloved, the temple, and beloved, a cloud came and filled that temple. What did that cloud mean? It meant God's presence was there. It meant God's presence was there. The cloud, beloved, you remember on Mount Sinai when God was given the law, beloved, a great cloud filled and covered the top of that mountain. And it meant that God's presence was there. Cloud, beloved, speaks of divine truth being present. Being present. It speaks of His majesty. You ever seen anything more majestic than a cloud? You know, aren't they beautiful? Talk to me, folks. Oh, yeah, they're beautiful. You ever stop and look at them and see all the different shapes? I mean, you see one looks like an elephant and one that looks like an angel and one that looks like... They're beautiful. Clouds speak of majesty. They speak of splendor. They speak of glory. They speak of the best that heaven can afford. That's how Jesus is coming back. Now I want you to think about it for a moment. What a contrast. What a contrast to the first time He came. Amen? I mean, beloved, Jesus came the first time. He wasn't clothed in clouds. He was clothed in a body of flesh, beloved. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. Laid in a manger. There was no glory, beloved. There was poverty and obscurity. There was no majesty. Beloved, he had no place to lay His head. There was, beloved, no comeliness or beauty about Him. He was despised and rejected of men. Oh, but listen to me. When He comes back, it's going to be different. Because when He comes back, woo, are y'all going to get me shouting, bro? He's going to come in power. He's going to come, beloved, in glory. He's going to come in majesty. And that's what those clouds represent. God is coming back. The one who left, who came and left and rose again, He's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. Beloved, when Jesus came the first time, He came, beloved, I can't get these things to work. He came disguised as a man. What do you mean disguised? I mean He had a body of flesh. He's the God-man, amen? He's the God-man. You see, beloved, He came that first time to die. He came, beloved, listen, the penalty of our sin, I ought to let Nate preach this part because we talked about it the other night. The penalty of sin is what? Death. Beloved, we're all condemned to die because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God looked down and He loved us so that God sent His Son in a body of flesh. And His Son came to this earth in a body of flesh. Why? So He could die in our place. So He could take my sin and your sin. Take it upon Himself. And take the punishment that you and I deserve that we might not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. That's the way He came the first time. This time, this second time, beloved, He won't come. He won't come like He came. He won't come born of a virgin. Praise God. That's over. Beloved, He's going to come as He really is. God, a very God. He's going to come triumphant. He's going to come victorious, beloved. He's going to come to claim, beloved, what He won on Calvary, to claim this earth and all that's in it.
Amen.
He's coming. He's coming. Notice this, verse 7. Every eye shall see Him. Every eye shall see. You know what? Every is a Greek word. You know what it means? Or the Greek word for every? It means every. That's what it means. Every eye. Well, that won't be the way it is in the rapture, by the way. When He comes and calls the church out, beloved, every, in fact, the Bible says He's coming as a thief in the night. Nobody will see Him, but we'll hear that trumpet and we'll be caught up to it. But this time, beloved, this time, He comes and every eye will see Him, beloved. Listen, every sinner will see Him. Every saint will see Him. Everyone dead, beloved, will see Him. Everyone living will see Him. Those of heaven will see Him. Those in hell will see Him. All the angels will see Him. All the demons will see Him. We'll see Him. What a difference. You know, the first time only Joseph and Mary and a few shepherds saw Him. Oh, but this time, everyone, everywhere will see Him. Think for just a moment what that's going to be like. In some parts of the world, when He comes, it's going to be dark. Darkness, amen? They're going to be sleeping. Some parts, people are going to be working in the factories and working in the offices and working in the fields. And suddenly, beloved, the whole world will hear a trumpet sound. Him blow the trumpet sounding to the angels to gather the elect of heaven together because they're coming back with Him. They're coming back with Him. It's going to be a sound, beloved, such that will people will run outside and they'll look up. Those in hell will gaze up. Those in heaven, beloved, will watch in wonder as we follow Him. And all the living and all the dead will be focused on Jesus. On Jesus. Wonder what this crowd's going to do today, beloved. Hey, you can't mention Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus in school. Don't talk about Jesus over here. Don't talk about Jesus. We get government funds. You can't talk about Jesus. Wonder what they're going to do, beloved, when He comes. Whoa! That's going to be great, ain't it?
Amen.
It's going to be worth it just to see their faces as they cry out, "Oh, Jesus!" And I don't think they're going to care whether they're in a government building or not. Amen? Amen. Listen to me. It's going to be something. It's going to be something. You know, it would have been wonderful. I would have loved to have seen His birth. Wouldn't you? You know, we had that thing last Christmas. Y'all remember the film I showed on Christmas Day? No, it blessed my heart. I'd have loved to have been there, beloved, with the shepherds. I'd have loved to have seen Him, beloved, laying in that manger. It would have been wonderful. I would have loved to have seen Him feed 5,000. With five loaves and two fish. Wouldn't that have been something? Every time I go to the grocery store, I think about that. I say, Lord, I wish You were here right now. 5,000. With five loaves and two fish. That would have been something to see. I think we Free Will Baptists would have shouted a little bit over that one. I would have loved to have seen, beloved, the storm disappear when He spoke. Peace be still, and the waves stopped, and the wind quit blowing. I'd love to have seen Him raise Lazarus from the dead. Man, you imagine breaking up a funeral like that? Somebody who'd been dead for 4 days. It would have been wonderful. It would have been wonderful to have seen the stone rolled away and heard the angels say, "He's not here, He is risen." It would have been wonderful, beloved, to have seen His ascend into heaven when the angel said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, will come again in like manner as ye have seen Him go."
Amen.
I didn't see any of that. Oh, but beloved, I'm going to see Him when He comes again. Amen? I'm going to see that. I was outside. My time's gone. I ought not do this. I was outside, and I was looking at the sky. This was just a few days ago. And the clouds were so beautiful. And all of a sudden, and y'all don't understand, this is my imagination. But all of a sudden, it was like I could see Jesus coming through those clouds on that white horse. And all, let me tell you, it was so beautiful. Ain't it going to be something to see Him? To see Him coming. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. Now, I want you to notice reaction to His second coming. There's going to be two reactions, beloved. The Lord's glorious appearing, listen, will grieve the sinner. It will grieve the sinner. And it'll gladden the saints. Let's look first at the sinner. Look at verse 7 again here in Revelation. Look at what it says. "And they also which pierced Him." Let me read it. I'm going to read the whole thing. "Behold, He cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see it. And they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Those who pierced Him. You know who that is? That's, beloved, those who literally pierced Him. I mean, you know, Pilate, the Pharisees, the nation that rejected Him, beloved, people who cried for His death, Romans, beloved, Gentiles who drove the spikes into His hands and into His feet. They will see Him. And when they see Him, they will cry and wail, beloved. No wonder they will wail. They'll realize that the one that we crucified is Him. It's the Messiah. It's the Savior. It's the Lamb of God. Amen. And they will cry and wail. How would you feel if you did somebody wrong? I mean, suppose you wronged Josh. I mean, you wronged him bad. But you just brushed it off. I mean, it's no big deal. You did what you felt like was right, so you did it. And then you got to go to court. And you walk in the courtroom, and there's Josh sitting there behind the desk with the judicial robes on. How would you feel? Oh! You know, that it'd tear you all to pieces. It'd tear me all to pieces. Listen, where's Deborah? She almost scared me to death last night. I won't get into that. But, buddy, when you realize you're caught, and the one who caught you is the judge, amen? That's bad. And that's how these people are going to feel. But listen, they're not the only ones, beloved. They're not the only ones it's talking about. You see, beloved, those who rejected Him, they pierced Him. Oh, let me tell you, they pierced His soul. They would not believe. They would not receive Him. He offered them free grace. He died for them. He gave His blood for them. And beloved, they will not receive Him. They will not, beloved, acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior of their life. They have spiritually pierced Him. They're going to see Him. All those unbelievers are going to see Him. Turn in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10. I'm almost through. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Listen to verse 28 and 29. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." What's he saying? He's saying those, beloved, who spurned the law of Moses, who despised it, who would have no part of it, that they suffered death without mercy. Now look at the next verse. Of how much sore punishment shall ye suppose shall he be that thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. He said, if they were killed for despising the law, what in the world is going to happen to them, beloved, who despised the blood that was shed, who trod it under their feet, who would not receive, who would not accept Him? How much worse is it going to be for them? For them. Turn in your Bibles. Turn over Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 1. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 1. Listen to this. Begin reading with verse 7. Listen to what it says. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, what's He going to do? Taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Oh, they're going to sin. And they're going to wail. They're going to wail. Oh, listen, it will grieve the sinner. Because, beloved, he bet his soul that it wasn't true. That Jesus wasn't coming back. That He was not the Messiah. That He's not the Savior. And when they see Him, they're going to realize they've lost it all. They've lost it all. But it'll gladden. It'll gladden the saints. We ought to be shouting. You know that? God is so good to us. He has saved us. Amen? We have nothing to fear. Look at what John said. Look at what John said, beloved, here in this seventh verse. He's at the very end of the verse. He said, even so. Amen. In other words, he just talked about the Lord coming back, beloved, in His glory. And now he says, even so, Lord. Amen. What's he saying? He's saying, beloved, hey, let it happen. That's what amen means. Let it be. Oh, let it be, Lord. Let it happen. Why? Because John had nothing to fear. See, this is what he had longed for. This is what he had lived his life for. This, beloved, was the winning touchdown. This, beloved, was the victory. It was the victorious end. The glorious appearing. The glorious appearing. Let me ask you something. When Jesus comes, will you be grieving? Or will you be gladdened? He's coming. What's His coming going to mean to you? To you. Folks, it's a fact. It's a Bible fact. Jesus is coming. He's coming in glory and victory. It's a fact. Every eye will see Him. And many will wail. And some will cheer. Some will cheer. How will it be with you? Are you ready? Are you ready for Him to come? Listen to me. You can't stop Jesus from coming.
Amen.
You know what He's going to do when He comes? I didn't mean to get into all this. I know I got to go. We are living in the times of the Gentiles, the Bible calls it. When Gentiles rule this world. We've been living in this time since ancient Babylon, beloved, conquered Israel. The time of the Gentiles. But God tells us the time of the Gentiles is going to come to an end. And when Jesus comes back, He's going to brush all these governments aside and He's going to set up His government as King of kings and Lord of lords. He's going to set up an everlasting kingdom of righteousness. He's going to take all these wrongs and He's going to make them right. Amen? All this stuff we see on TV, you look at this stuff and you say, how crazy is this world getting? Don't worry about it. When He comes, He's going to straighten it all out. He's going to make it right. He's going to make it right. Amen. You can't stop Him from coming. Governments can't. If they could, they would, but they can't. But you can make it a blessing for you and for your family and your loved ones. You can make it a blessing instead of a curse. Instead of a curse. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. With all the odds against them, listen to me. I mean, think about it. All the things, all the prophecies of His first coming came to pass just like the Bible said. Beloved, God is true. God cannot lie. God's Word tells us He's coming again. Tells us that, beloved, He's going to judge the wicked. Tells us that He's going to set up His kingdom. With all the odds against them, 3 out of every 4 have bet their souls that Jesus isn't coming. That Jesus isn't coming. What do you think? What do you think? You think He's coming? Or are you betting your soul He won't come? Are you betting your eternity He won't come? What do you think? What you do as we give this invitation will show what you think. Because you have to make a decision. Christian, He's coming. And the Bible tells us that we as Christians are going to stand before Him and give an account of our Christian life, of our service, of our love for Him. Are you ready? Do you believe He's coming? Do you really believe that? Lost person, He's coming. Do you believe that? Oh, let me tell you, when He comes, it's too late. It's too late to fall on your knees. It's too late to receive Him as Lord and Savior. You see, this is the time. This is the day of grace. This is the time. This is the time. Are you going to bet your soul that He's not coming? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I want you to stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Whatever your need is, we ask you to bring it to this altar. You got lost loved ones. You believe He's coming. You ought to come and pray for them. You're here and you're not saved. Oh, listen. You need to receive Him as Lord and Savior. You need to now. 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 Won't you come? Come with these that are coming. You know, people look at this world, even those who are lost are looking at this world and saying it can't keep going the way that it's going. And it can't. It can't. It can't. We invite you to come. Won't you come? Won't you come? You're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What a wonderful day to get saved. The Bible says this is the day. Today is the day, the Bible says. Call upon Him while He is near. What a wonderful day to get saved. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Do you believe He's coming? Do you really believe He's coming? Thank God for the moving of His Holy Spirit. You may be seated, heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank God for these who have come. If you're here today and you're not saved, whether you're in your seat or at this altar, please, please, please receive Him today. Don't be left behind. Don't be left behind. He died for you. He loves you. He gave His all for you. All you've got to do is receive Him by faith. He's Lord and Savior of your life. Is there anyone at this altar and you're not saved? Would you lift your hand? Anyone? Anyone? Anyone in the building? And you're saying, "Preacher, I want to be saved." We'll show you how. We will show you how. Anyone? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother H.F. if he would to lead us.